I got a fresh new CD today, Slim.
So did I.
Well, you copped the same EP today?
Yeah, I did. It was gifted to me, actually.
You didn't go out into the streets and get it?
No, not this time.
And travel real long
for the,
and
for the one on July 4th, though.
And through the snow.
Exactly.
Walking up and down hill both ways.
Right. By the time you get back, it's sunny.
15 miles like a grandpa.
Yeah.
So you sound like an old man telling, like, at I went to school story right now.
I mean, uphill both ways. That's not even possible. How did you do that? Anyway, it's Lousy Weather Media Main Show, episode 247. I'm Sean Ast.
Bob Campardo.
Slim.
Today, our guest in the studio... coming live and in charge. Is that I'm trying to get a hype intro. Like I'm getting hype. All right.
You got it, bro.
From Akron, Ohio.
Yep.
The man with the plan.
Yep.
Too sweet to be sour.
Yes, sir.
Man of the hour.
Oh, keep going.
The women's pet, the men's regret.
Oh.
G-Dash Black.
Yes, sir.
G Black. Geronimo Black.
Yes, sir.
Figured I'd hit all the aliases real quick.
Thank you.
And you brought your cousin along, you said?
Yes, sir.
What's it? What was your name again, man?
Reggie.
We're all hanging out. I was listening to DJ Screw when you walked in, so you felt at home, it felt like.
Oh, man. I feel so much at home.
So many memories. But you were saying you used to go get those tapes. Like me, I'm just listening to them on Spotify in retrospect, like trying to put myself into that mind frame of what it was like. You were there. You lived it.
Oh, man. It was a hell of an experience.
Really?
Say. Yeah.
I was about to say, we're just going to talk about this the whole time. DJ Screw, Houston. I was telling you, back in the day, I always liked the Ghetto Boys and stuff like that. And then in 2005, like, Houston became everything in music for a moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you know what? For me, being down south and not being, I've never stepped foot outside of Texas until like 2007. So I really didn't know that we had an impact on
that. That was like everything was, in 2005, we had Spinners and Syrup and fucking Mike Jones was the, everybody said, people still this day, like, I'll be at work. And if somebody says who or something of that nature, it's like always like 281-330-8004. It hasn't left our brains. But yeah, so it's just a fascinating thing that, like, that was the life for people in Houston in 94. Like you're saying, you didn't even realize that, like, it didn't even hit us for 10 years. You know what I mean? It felt like, wow. It feels like we were Canadians up here. You know what I mean? Where, like, our culture hits it 10 years later in Canada. That's a terrible joke. But anyway, Houston, like, you guys.
We have free healthcare, y'all didn't.
You guys had wood grain and swangin' and shit like that in 94. It didn't hit us till 2006.
Dang, that is so crazy.
And they still sell Platinum Girls at the mall.
Yeah.
G Black, though, you just put out the track Season EP.
Yes, sir.
In April, right?
Yep.
And I hit you up, like, so I listened to it on Spotify the day it went up, and I was like, man, it's like, congratulations on that. Like, sonically it sounds great. And the record, it's something different, you know what I mean?
Thank you.
So, like, because Akron hip hop's been kind of having a little bit of a
resurgence.
Yeah, there's a lot of people going around. They're all really good.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I miss the VEC, a.k.a. Rowdy Rowdy, Northside Summit County days of 2000. But now we have Slim's like, I don't know about those days.
No, what? I was five. So,
anyway. So, but nowadays, you know, I mean, there's Flacco Torres is doing really well. You know, what I mean,
yes,
there's
some.
Yeah,
yes.
He was over here not that long ago. Flacco's very polite, a good sonically phenomenal rapper, good musician.
Want
so
to know a secret?
What's that?
He's on my first single.
He is he on
Ooh.
Coming out for this coming out on Friday.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's you and Flacco.
Yes, sir.
All right, the game's changed. It's over. We're gonna retire. <now.
laughs>
It's over. Right. So anyway, but you've been working on this for a while now, right?
Yes, sir.
So the genesis of the project was you were gonna do an album. Now it's turned into three EPs essentially.
No. Okay. So, Man, last time I was here was what, maybe 2 years ago? Could have been Brian.
It was episode 155.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I looked it up. I'm not Rain Man, but yeah.
Yeah, no,
because if you search G Black on Spotify, it's one of the things that pop up. Like, it'll pop up your music and shit, and then, like, down below, it's like podcasts and videos, and, like, one of the responses as that, so that's how I saw
that's
it.
That's dope. I'm not it's a like narcissist, so I've never done that before, but yeah. That's super dope. I'm gonna do it when I get home.
It's one of my favorite things about our podcast being on Spotify is like when people search these local artists and shit, like our episodes will pop up in the search or whatever.
Damn, that's dope as fuck.
But, do you get confused with Six Black ever?
No.
He said?
Yeah, I did get confused for a guy named, what was his name?
Now who's Six Black? I've never heard of
him. He's kind of like a singer rapper. Okay. He came up last year, I think, is when he got like pretty popular.
Is that the Problems guy?
Yeah, Problems.
Yeah.
His album is dope, actually.
Yeah,
Problems.
Well, it's an EP, I guess, but it's super dope if y'all get a chance. But no, okay, so it started off. I had a concept, an idea, as a kid, really, even before I did music, that it would be dope if, like movies, life had a score, like a soundtrack to it. And I used to pick my favorite songs and score different moments in my life. And as I got older and started doing music, I started coming to the realization that rather than depending on these other artists to create these moments, I could do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the genesis of the idea came from. But over the course of 7 years, life happened, more stories came, and it went from being one album about my life, which is now going to be the third of four albums that I plan on putting out this year, Track Season being the first one. It went from being that one album to, I would say, if I had to break each one down, Track Season would be sort of a synopsis of the entire album, the soundtrack. Mm. So each of the songs that I put them out individually as singles over the course of 2 years to give them their own legs and life and room to breathe. And, you know, so because I feel like in these times we live in, everything is so microwave. Like, you want it instantly, and once you get it, you're done with it.
Microwave.
So
I like that.
My mentality is, how can I make you sit with it?
Mm.
If I so need it piece by piece.
To back up real quick, this is leading up to an album, the soundtrack.
Yes.
Okay, so we're putting out Track Season, and you're doing three of these, and then it's leading to an album?
Well,
I'm just trying to understand
in
you.
In a way.
Right?
Well, there's two EPs. I actually technically come to find out now 7 tracks are considered albums. I was doing that before Kanye, by the way.
Yeah, literally Kanye dropped two of those.
So yeah, 7 tracks is now an album. So there's two
it's
albums.
Just the way people consume music nowadays.
That's what I'm saying. So there's two 7-track albums leading up to a 14-track album, which is the soundtrack.
I got you. So it's three altogether, not three EPs. Then
there's actually
album.
Four.
I got you. Okay.
Because during the process of this and breaking the soundtrack down into three album or the two 7-track EPs and then the 14-track album, I actually began creating another one, which is the one that's coming out after the soundtrack.
But it's going to be your hype record.
And this is the one that's coming out on July 4th. Yeah. So it's dope. It's so many different vibes. Like I felt like I had to put it out in the summertime. It's ironic, I guess not ironic, but maybe that's the wrong word. Mm. But it's weird because I actually created it in the winter.
Yeah,
like I've been working on it all winter. But the vibes,
but the eyes on the summer.
It's like the record me and Flacco got is so like backyard barbecue, like going back to the days we talking about, like 90s. And, you know, so
I hear it. I definitely, even listening to this EP, I was listening to it earlier. Like it, what I like about it compared to what I hear from other places is it's. It's kind of a return to boom bap, you know what I mean? But a lot of bass, and your flow is not like everybody else's. Yeah, I think I said last time, I was like, your flow reminds me a lot of Nas.
Yeah.
And I still hear it. Thank like, you. When I listen to They Killed Jesus, any of those songs, I hear the you have a calm way of delivering a ferocious verse. You know what I mean? That's why I like your music so much and wanted to invite you back. I want people to check it out. It's G-Black, 2 K's, no C's. You against C's? You know what I mean?
No,
you got a problem
I
with C's?
Differentiate myself from the color or perception of an idea.
I hear you. Yeah. It's like I was about to sound stupid as hell. Where the Bloods won't use C's,
IHOP.
Crips won't use C's.
Get some band kicks.
I've been going by G Black for 12 years, and the first time I got that was like a month ago.
Really?
I gave him a CD, and he came back a couple minutes later.
Because the shit starts coming to other people about 10 years later.
Man, that shit is crazy. I never even considered, like, no, it's not like
that. That's funny. But anyway, so what's the idea for the next EP? You said it's coming out July 4th, right?
Yeah.
And the single's this Friday.
Yeah, it's called, I mean, it's track season 2, Blackomania.
Blackomania, like Hawkomania.
Yeah, man, it's crazy how that shit came about, because me and him always be sitting back watching the old, like, you got man, the WWE Network. So we just be going back to the beginning watching all the wrestling.
People that have it, we just call it the network. You know, it's just the
I'm new to this. I'm just getting in the know.
Get with the culture. Yeah,
me, anyway. Him, and my boy Stroke, Free Stroke, by the way.
Free Stroke.
Man, we just sit back, burning, watching it, and talking politic and coming up with, you know, ideas, vibing or whatever. And, you know, over the course of that, the idea of incorporating that with the music came about. It actually came about from the freestyle my dude Stroke did, and he allowed me to put a verse on that, and that's actually the second song on the album. But long story short, man, just sitting back, vibing, really trying to find a way to, because during the process of working on the soundtrack, as I was saying before, a lot of life happens, so sometimes you get lost in that, you know, you get lost in the process, and it just becomes habitual rather than, you know. And I feel like at a point it just became what I do and not something that I enjoy doing, you know. And going back, burning with them and watching wrestling and just vibing and talking, it made me realize how integral a part of my life wrestling was. Just even going back to when I came in and seen Ron Simmons the last time, you know, it just excites me. It takes me back to those moments. And I looked at that like an opportunity to be able to not only incorporate what was my first dream, because even before the music, you couldn't tell me I wasn't going to the dungeon to study with Stu Hart. And I was getting to the, you know what I'm saying? I had a plan.
You were ready to scream.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, like,
twist on
just incorporating all of that and getting back to having fun with the music just allowed me to create in such a more free way. And that's how, you
and
know,
not
the soundtrack
be, not be
into
so
all
complacent
these
in what you're doing. You stop pushing yourself creatively when you get like that. So now what's the goal following this? You had the EP on July 4th. Can we get a little idea of where you're going from there? You have specifics yet other than what you were saying before or anything of that nature?
Honestly, I look at it like I self-analyze a lot. And I take constructive criticism, and I try to see how I can use that to my benefit. And the major criticism that I've gotten over the course of whatever length of time I've been putting out music is that I've been inconsistent. And so for me, the best way to beat consistency is to consistently keep coming back with
music. What do you mean by inconsistent? Like, you were holding off on releasing, or your music's,
I think people
doesn't follow a pattern?
I think my problem is that I expect people to understand my plan without actually revealing it. And as I was saying before, how I pieced out track season over the course of 2 years, I think people misunderstood that as, you know, maybe I wasn't ready or I didn't have that file. Like, could have been Brian. I noticed a lot of people said, or a lot of feedback that I got was that I needed to have that follow-up right after. I needed, because, you know,
yeah, where's the next track? Where's the next track?
Yeah, we're trained to think we got it. Okay, so where's it? Rather than enjoying what we actually already have.
Yeah.
You know, so again, I take that on the chin, though. You know, I
which is the society we're in now. Yeah, a lot.
I oversold my vision, and so I feel like at this point, again, the best way to show people that that's not an issue and that criticism is not only didn't fall on deaf ears, but isn't something that has to be a concern at all. You know, I'm just keep coming back.
So what's up with the man Nardi Cool? You still kicking it with him? Still chilling? Yeah. He's on the new record?
Track 6, Play
Game. One of my favorite things about last time you were on is when I posted the photo, my dude Colin Papp, who was actually here last week, I guess he went to North.
That's my guy.
With you guys. He fucking commented like, oh, that dude's cool. Like, it is in his name.
Nah.
Nerdy cool. I mean, but yeah, it was just funny. He's like, oh, I went to school with that dude. That dude's cool.
With a rose by any other.
Yeah, yeah. Colin Papp, man. He was here last week. I started jamming with him recently.
Yeah.
Doing some music again, some death metal, stuff like that.
Gotta let me hear some, bro.
I used to be in a band with Colin back in the day. Colin's one of the most phenomenal drummers I've ever met.
Facts.
Yeah, it's just weird, small world sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, we're all almost connected somehow. This dude walks in the door hearing DJ Screw. How's that fucking happen? No.
It's so crazy.
It's funny.
That's
funny.
It's
funny.
About the time that that came out when I was 17.
So you, I did want to get into the wrestling. Like, you posted it. You were like, yes. Man, the best time of my life was 9 p.m. USA Network. Yes, Raw is War. God. Raw is War was the first hour, Warzone the second hour, and vice versa. Okay. Hour yep. It was. Yeah.
That's when shit got real.
Yeah.
That's when shit got real.
So,
yeah, sir.
When did you when did you start watching wrestling? Like, was it just something you always had, and then that was the era when you were a kid, so you got way into it, or did something spark it?
What I'll say is that wrestling was always around because I have a brother that's 7 years older than me.
Yeah.
So wrestling was always around, but.
Were you guys going to the video store, like renting the tapes and shit?
He used to work at the video store, bro. Really? He was the plug. Yeah. It was crazy.
Ah, that's funny.
But yeah, no, man, I don't really recall when it became a singular interest for me because it was something that was always around. But
yeah.
I do remember, funny story, just to show you how ingrained this shit is. I remember... Yeah. I lost my virginity on a Monday night, and the only reason I remember that is because
you would rather been I watching Raw.
No, I went home. Right?
He's like,
I made sure to leave her house about 8:55 because I needed to get home by 9.
Right. You're like, I might miss like 5 minutes. That's funny. So
that's awesome.
Now, what was your favorite characters? What kept you watching back then?
You know what, bro? I don't even... I didn't have... I mean, okay, I'm not going to say I didn't have a favorite. Goldberg was my
Goldberg.
Guy.
So
only because...
Were you a channel flipper? Did you go, like, as soon as commercial hit, you went back to WCW? Or as soon as commercial hit, you...
When Tebow came out, bro, I'm in there. Because now I can rewind and see what happened during that commercial break. Oh, yeah.
See, they used to... When it was like... WCW Nitro used to always be, they would re-air it at like 11.
Yeah.
So I knew I could watch Raw and just stay up and watch fucking Nitro afterwards.
Yes, sir.
It'd sit there and watch a 3-hour Nitro at 11 a.m. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, Goldberg. So you were a Nitro fan too then?
Yeah, man. I just loved, I don't even know. Like, I loved everything about it, man.
Yeah.
Just it was acrobatic, the storylines. Like, I also think that's where my love of writing came from, because I never read a book, like a complete book on my own, not assigned for school, which I probably didn't read anyway, but until I was like 19 years old.
Yeah,
until I was like 19 years old. So I think my love for writing even came from
the storylines
on wrestling, because we all knew it was, real.
It was
Undertaker didn't just kidnap Vince McMahon's daughter, and we got to wait until next week to see what happens. He would be on that shit right now, you know. So we knew the shit wasn't really real, but it was so intriguing.
They were really into making it the male soap opera back then, and taking it from like it, because before that it was kind of like the cigar smoking fucking fast Southern dude type. Working, and then by the late 90s it was like, no, this is a show, this is fucking soap opera. Like you said, we're kidnapping Stephanie McMahon and fucking crucifying her, or putting her on a Undertaker symbol that it, you know, wasn't a crucifixion. It was on an Undertaker symbol.
I think they might have got called
you. You're like, nah, I think they might have crucified it. It's all right. Stone Cold came and saved her. So I was about to say, were you guys Stone Cold fans?
Yeah, definitely.
Stone Cold, stomp mud holes and asses. I was listening to a podcast today, and they were talking about Stone Cold, and they were like, that dude might have thrown the weakest kicks and punches ever, but you were so into him that you were like, he's stomping a mud hole. Fuck yeah, dude. He just got so hyped.
Man, he just killed me how he never dropped a beer.
Yeah,
he would have three beers in his hand and still catch the four. Like are they magnetic beers? I don't know.
Always talks shit that he like poured so much on himself. But one day somebody came in the door while we were recording. He had a beer in his hand. It was Monty. It was Slim's MMA co-host. But anyway, they showed up in the middle of the show and they walked in and he had a beer in his hand. So I just said, "Stone Cold me, bro." And he threw me a beer and I just cracked it open and went, "Gah!" And was just pouring it all over myself and drinking it. And I instantly got a head rush and was like, "Whoa." Like, I was like, "Damn." And he did that with four of them. Like, Holy shit. He walked to the back like, what up? Yeah, good match, brother. Like, holy shit. So do you still watch any of the new wrestling? Do you keep up with it at all?
Man, I went to... I went to my first live event, courtesy of him. It was the Raw in Cleveland 2 weeks before WrestleMania.
I got you. Just this past year.
Yes, sir.
Let's say 2 years ago, the Raw, like before Mania, they had Undertaker show up. Big surprise in Cleveland. And I was all mad. I didn't buy tickets. His tickets were like $20 more than they normally were. And I was like, why are they $20 more? And then Undertaker was a surprise guest, and I was like, okay, that's why they were $20 more. I should have known, like, yo, if it's $20 more, Undertaker's about to show up or some shit. But anyway, so you went to Monday Night Raw, and
shit was amazing, man.
Now, seeing the TV tapings are fun, especially nowadays, because the sound in arenas are so good, especially the queue. Like, the sound's so good there nowadays. Their video fucking screen is the largest indoor screen. The
colors was crazy.
So when the backstage vignettes and all that shit happen, they just dim the lights and you get to watch it like you're watching at home almost. And it, like, back in the day with the bad sound and bad lighting, you were just kind of like, what the fuck is happening right now? But it's a hell of an experience. I went to SmackDown like probably a couple years ago, and I was like, this is intense, man.
What do you guys think about Ronda?
Ronda Rousey.
I'm trying to relate. Sorry, I don't know the wrestling.
Yeah, he's an MMA guy, big fan. So Ronda came in.
Ronda.
Yeah? Yeah, I really do. I like Ronda.
WrestleMania, that was probably like the best match of the card, was the Ronda, Stephanie, Triple H, Kurt Angle match.
With her, yeah, what's
up? My problem is the same issue that I had with Goldberg growing up. Mm. She can't cut a spot because she can't. I don't know if she can't get in character, or maybe she's just new. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't want to hear her talk.
Yeah.
And for somebody of her caliber, or at least how it seems they're positioning her, she needs to be.
I was about to say, she has a problem.
Paul Heyman next to her.
Yeah. When she does cut promos, she has a problem with like smiling when she's talking and shit like that. But then when it's like action time, she can cut a mean resting bitch face. You know what I mean? She's like looking at people like, I'm gonna fuck you up. Yeah. But when she's trying to cut promo, she's like, I'm playing wrestler. So I get what you're saying a lot. But that they did a really good job at WrestleMania with that whole deal of, because I was like, this is gonna be the worst match on the card. And then it happened. I was like, that was very good.
Yeah, that was
like, they did a hell of a job. Kurt Angle,
surprised me.
Yeah, Kurt Angle.
He surprised me.
10 years ago, he's my favorite wrestler. Now the dude can't even walk.
Right?
Like,
when
the
I saw
fuck?
Him walk out, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he's like he looks terrible. He looks terrible.
Did you guys watch CM Punk fight this last weekend?
A UFC?
No. I did. And actually, only reason why we didn't, because we was in D.C. If we wouldn't have been in D.C., I would definitely.
Oh, you got smashed. It wasn't a good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was all three rounds. Yeah, it was.
I was telling him this earlier. Like, I feel like wrestling fans didn't buy into this time around. His first fight, all of us were like, all right, we're watching.
Well, I thought he had a better chance this time because the dude he was fighting was also 0-1.
But so he's still an MMA fighter. CM Punk is he was a great pro wrestler, but he wasn't ever a shoot fighter.
I'm not gonna lie, I picked him. I thought he had a chance. I thought he was gonna.
He did land some swings though, right off the bat. He came out and fucking blasted the dude right in his face. Yeah.
And then he tried for the takedown and ended up in his own mount.
Oh,
and it was just wow.
And it was but then the dude just sat on him for three rounds.
Yeah.
So it went to decision. But the other guy just like literally laid on him and like punched his body every second.
Yeah,
it was a bad fight. Very bad.
It was 30-26, which means one of the rounds he lost very
now bad. Were you guys CM Punk wrestling fans at all?
Yeah,
I wasn't. I stopped watching by that
point. You weren't even watching him. So now, if he came back to wrestling, does this smash his credibility to you, or are you just like, I'm glad that, like, I know wrestling's like fake, so
no, It doesn't, because the simple fact, who hasn't done it?
Yeah.
Brock has done it.
Mm-hmm.
They let
Brock, yeah, I was about to say, Brock got his ass beat a couple times there. Yeah. You know what I mean? He won some great fights, and he also lost some bad fights.
And the wrestlers, they miss CM Punk.
Mm.
Every now and again, you'll hear CM Punk chase, especially when they go to Chicago. So
now, yeah. Do you ever watch the Japan stuff or anything like that? You seem like the bigger wrestling fan. You seem like you keep up a little more. Do you watch the Japan wrestling at all?
No, can't say that I do. It's basically
all WWE.
WWE, yeah.
I was about to say, because Chris Jericho has been going out to Japan now. They have a bunch of Americans that are taking over out there. Jericho actually just, like, he beat one of their top stars at the last event.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, and it's funny because Jericho's, like, painting his face all weird. It's weird. Like, he's wearing, he looks like, I don't know. I was going to say Eddie Izzard. I don't know if anybody knows who that is. He's like an old 70s, like, British drag queen comedian that, like, wore.
That's not a good look.
Yeah, that's what Jericho
was about to say. I was a Chris Jericho fan, but.
Yeah, not so on this, yeah.
Yeah, but he's out there, and they're trying to make, like, a push towards America. And, like, I watch, like, the big events and stuff, and I try to keep up with it, but it's hard.
You know, I've been watching it lately here because I watched them do it with, what's her name?
Oh, that girl.
What is her name?
Mm-hmm.
She's been missing for a little bit after she lost she lost the belt. What is the goddess, the emperor? What is her name?
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, Sean will know.
From SmackDown, Asuka?
Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka.
I've been watching her storyline and the one dude that's into it with, AJ
Nakamura.
Yeah, I've been Shinsuke. Watching their storyline. It's like it's like we're
see Shinsuke doing. Was he's one of the best guys from Japan for years. And I feel like he hasn't got a good chance to shine. This became a wrestling podcast real quick.
It did, very quickly, yeah.
We'll move on real quick. But Shinsuke Nakamura though has been my favorite wrestler probably for about since like 2013-14 now, because I was just such a big fan of him in Japan, and he hasn't had the chance to shine in WWE, and hopefully him fucking going heel and hitting AJ in the nuts and being all like that will like help give him help
so
put him over
him, hitting him in the nuts.
I love it.
His face when he does it, like
everybody hated the last pay-per-view when they hit each other in the nuts and they both went out.
I was
like, this is awesome. I was the only person in the world probably that was like, this is great.
I love getting hit in the nuts,
like, because they've just been hitting each other in nuts for 3 months that this time they just hit each other at the same exact time so hard they were both knocked out.
Double knockout.
Like, that's hilarious.
That's basically what happened. Nice. The ref called the match.
Wow. I was like, that is hilarious.
Was it a draw? Was that?
Yeah, so this time they're doing a last man standing match. So,
Nice.
Which doesn't even make sense because
the same thing could happen.
The same thing could fucking happen.
They're
gonna
see who can get hit in the nuts the most.
Somebody's gonna wear a cup.
I hope they both wear cups.
Somebody's gonna cheat. I'm definitely gonna see.
Is that not allowed? You're not wear a cup?
No, you can't. But I've seen something like this happen before, especially with Goldberg when he was doing his WCW thing.
They could put like a fucking
With Bret Hart.
Chest protector.
Yeah, like some D'Lo Brown fucking
D'Lo Brown fucking
bro. Like, come on, man.
So I see. Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, okay. Up, so.
Bret Hart wore the metal shield under his Toronto Maple Leafs jersey.
Oh.
In Canada, fucking Goldberg spears the shit out of him. They both go down and Bret Hart gets up, takes the jersey off, and the crowd just explodes.
About that shit.
Yeah, like, that's a moment. That's like coolest thing Bret Hart did in WCW. I don't even remember. I don't remember anything else he ever did.
Can't remember a moment
you
after
did,
that.
You didn't even remember he was in WCW. You just looked at me like, what?
Wow.
Not only did he get screwed in WWE. Also,
that's
true. Oh, that is when it, okay.
Because then he went after the screw job.
Yeah,
he got another funny.
Screw job. Damn.
Oh man. So recording. You were telling me before you've been recording at the Rialto still, right?
Yes, sir.
How are they?
Man, that's Okay, well.
So I know you've done some stuff like even on the stage in the main room and shit like that, but
when they initially opened, they only had the one room. The back room was just it was like rubble back there, like a bomb had went off. So the way they got everything together back there is so amazing. And once they got the studio set up in the main room, the booth, I guess the equivalent to the booth, they used the actual stage.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Track Season, actually, the entire album was actually recorded on that stage.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of added to the effect because, without giving too much away about the soundtrack, the subtitle of the soundtrack is Music From and Inspired by Life, and a lot of it has a lot of live elements to it. Mm-hmm. So being able to record it on the stage, it allowed me to put myself in a mind frame.
Now, were you like grabbing the mic and running around, or you were, you know, with the vocal shield on a condenser?
If you listen to They Killed Jesus, like on that second verse, yeah,
you go hype on the second verse.
Yeah, that second verse. Yeah,
that's one of the things I like about the song. It's funny you brought that up because I wanted to was the way it builds. You know what I mean? Like, because the first verse you're real low, and then by when that second verse comes on, you're like, blah, blah. I can't even impersonate it. Where I'm like, motherfucker, blah, blah. What's up?
Salem. Is that Salem? That didn't look like a furry tail. That might be Salem. Her and Scotty just instantly met.
Yeah. It looks like Scotty's chasing Salem. Sorry, guys. He's having a weird conversation over here with me. But no,
do you need me to grab?
My girlfriend moved in, and so she brought her cat and her dog, and her cat's not fixed.
Oh,
so my cat wants that ass hard. Yeah, go grab her for me, Slim, please. But yeah, my cat's like, I want that ass. So yeah, I got an appointment next week. So anyway,
it all ties in because what you were talking about, that build up on the song, was actually that angst and frustration of
you were trying to fuck
and, not no. necessarily but that was a part of it though, just growing up and being, you know, not necessarily the most confident, and you know, going through those teenage emotions and not really understanding who I am or how I fit in or what any of this is or what the fuck is going on, and you know, all that shit. And that's kind of what the song is about. And it also ties into what we've been talking about, wrestling and Blackomania and shit, because wrestling, again, in retrospect, was the thing that allowed me to find that confidence and allowed me to figure out how I fit into this big world, because they made the world even bigger. So it made me make a little bit more sense. These things interested me. I felt like I could exist in this world. I felt like, you know, so just going back to the verse though, and in the song in general, even down to the title, They Killed Jesus, I feel like I chose that title because the world tries to put you in a position to where they control you, and they do that by taking away your belief and your confidence and your dreams and ideas. And I feel like that's all we have. And the reference to the metaphors, I feel like, you know, I don't mean to offend anybody by this, but I believe in God. So I feel like, you know, God gave Jesus to the world, you know, as that, you know, saving grace per se. And, you know, and that's what our dreams and ideas and aspirations are, for the world to try to take those. I just feel like the title came from, you know, me feeling like the world already took what God gave to us, you know, gave to everybody. The world is not going to take that away from me.
Now, I think track placement also fits too, because Universal's right after it, right?
Yeah.
Universal Law. And that's the song where you almost like kind of question your ideas and what you have, your beliefs or things like that, you know what I mean?
And that's what I was like, it's crazy that you noticed the sequencing. And I appreciate that, because outside of the songs, I feel like sequencing is something that I pay attention to, and that's something, it's really a craft in and of itself, honestly. So, you know, thank you for noticing that.
Yeah.
But again, Track Season is a synopsis of the entire album, the soundtrack. So the reason Universal Law is the last song on Track Season is because that's kind of where I end, you know, the soundtrack at. And the reason that there's an album after that I was referencing before is because the questions that, you know, you noticed in reference on Universal Law, I found answers and I have direction to. And that's what, you know, the fourth album is.
My girlfriend came down now to get the cat. She's like, I think What's up there? I just seen the cat come down. It's funny. We got people with flashlights all searching over the living room for a fucking cat right now. That's awesome.
She's in the fireplace and shit.
She's in the fireplace and shit. She'll be all right. I see Scotty's like, he's on the prowl. Scotty will chase her out. Don't worry. He's already on it. So anyway. No, she's chasing him. Anyway, so.
if they awesome. Fuck, they fuck. What a.
So anyway, now back to the recording process. Do you have any like rituals or anything like that you do before you go into the booth?
I turn the lights low.
Yeah, you want the lights low.
Yeah.
You want incense lit, or
I wish I could. If it didn't, if I didn't feel like that would potentially have a long-term effect on the recording equipment, then I definitely would.
You're like, I love incense. If smoke could be blasting on the things. I mean, is your vision to start doing that stuff yourself too?
No.
At all, production or engineering or any of that stuff? No.
I started off, like I said, wrestling was my first dream. Mm-hmm. Engineering was second. Like, yeah. I started off, I was the guy with, I actually used to have that exact same board. That was my first board, actually.
With the little, the Behringers?
Yeah.
I used to have a nice, like, console right here. Now I got, like, this thing's sleek and nice, but I loved having the, it's sitting out in the fucking kitchen just dead. But having my faders and my little knobs I can fuck with and
that,
shit.
That
but,
shit all interested me.
Yeah.
Man. I
see,
just feel like I
this thing's
be the guy
all digital. Like it's. I mean, it works nice and it pops up a little mixer on here I can play with. But yeah, it's just all digital.
Yeah.
All plugins. You don't really get that good, like, airy sound or any of the built-in fucking compressor and feels of the. Vocals from a device like this, because it's all digital. You do it all later. Like, you gotta, you can play with stuff to do what you want with it. But anyway, you were into it before, but you're not now.
Yeah, no, I started off doing it, and then I noticed over time that, because this is the high school time, so the guys I was recording, I noticed they weren't really serious enough about it for me to get better at my craft. So I started doing it myself, so I could practice on myself, and then. In the process of that, I just, you know, grew to love it. And over time, it just became too tedious doing both.
Yeah.
And my love for the music had outgrown my love for, you know.
Did you find yourself, like, not finding a good enough mix for yourself? Or you're, like, where you're constantly, like, oh, shit, I could change the
mix my vocals before I laid them. Like, my shit, man.
I know
you,
what you're saying, yeah.
When you record with other people, do you feel like, do you enjoy, like, the collaboration of working on that together after that, or are you more, since you know what you're doing, be in the studio also, or are you more, like, trying to be in control of that also?
What do you mean?
Like, do you, like, a producer might be, like, try to make it sound a certain way in the studio. Like, are you into that, like, collaboration with a producer?
I get what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, no, I think
they might say, like, try it this way.
I think collaboration is something that is critical in terms of, you know, the recording process and all of that. Because, again, I guess maybe it comes from the fact that I started off aspiring to be an engineer. So I understand the craft in that. And so I guess maybe now that I'm on the other side of the coin, I can respect it a little bit more. So I definitely. And that's what I was saying before we were, you know, talking off air. I exclusively work with my engineer at the Rialto, Just a Dream, Loki, who's actually on my second single off of Blackmania, because it's so collaborative. Once you get that chemistry, it's the same as the relationship between an artist and a producer as far as a beat maker.
Yeah.
Once you get that chemistry and you guys know each other, like, he can mix my vocals before I lay him. And he just knows what I want. I don't have to worry about, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what I want it to sound like this. And you want, there's no middle ground because we're on the same page.
Yeah. So now, let's reiterate. You got any shows coming up? What's the EP coming up? Run down all this stuff for me.
Man, I actually just got back from D.C. on Monday.
Yeah, so how was going to D.C.?
I've never been to D.C. before. When I say... I did a show in Miami in February.
Yeah.
And
now, are you going back to Miami soon for anything?
Yes, we are.
Move can happen. I did a show in Miami in February, and this DC show, when I say DC does not sleep, the show was over about 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We got back to the hotel maybe like 2:30 something.
Yeah.
We got back up and was out moving again maybe 8, 9 that morning.
And this is on a Sunday.
On Sunday, like Saturday to Sunday. The same amount of people that were out at 2 a.m. were out at 8 in the morning. Like, the city does not sleep. Like, wow. The shit was fucking going.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
It was crazy.
All I think about D.C. is just, like, old Dave Chappelle routines and shit, where he's talking about crack babies on the corner and stuff like that. So you're like, it was like way like that.
Trying to get away from that. But
now that you bring that up, I believe him now. He probably was telling that street
because was a baby on the corner.
Doesn't sleep,
man.
Like, yo, that's wild.
Why are these people still out here and they are still going? It's like,
and the crazy part is like the venue that I performed at. You step outside, walk maybe 10 feet to the corner to the left. And you look straight across, and the White House is right there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And so it's just fucking go. I mean, you can't get down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Now, where
you
over there? Yeah,
but shit, the White House is right there, though. That's fucking cool. Going.
Yeah.
So were you doing the Robert De Niro and yelling "fuck Trump" everywhere you went, or?
I didn't see that till yesterday. And I was like,
Robert De Niro?
I read about
Robert De Niro. So the Tony Awards, Robert De Niro just walked on stage and was like, "fuck Trump," and then went, and fucking, it's the craziest thing because the crowd goes,
with the slow clap
and stood up.
No way. Standing ovation.
Yeah, some people
that's a movie.
He said that.
And then he does it one more time. Fuck Trump.
That's my guy.
Oh, that's awesome. What's your
definitely one hollering that down now with what I seen. Because everywhere you went, it was police everywhere.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Oh, my God.
All different types of police.
Yeah.
White House police.
Secret Service and
police. Yeah. Virginia. It was all crazy.
I was about to say, you're right there. It's its own thing in Virginia and Maryland, technically.
You'll be right next to a police and don't even know it because this is a car that looks like a regular car until you look up and see who's driving and see that he's fully dressed with these guns.
There's like the lights are in the grill or shit like that. When I'd be in a band, like that was the craziest thing is like you'd go into a state and their state troopers would be in like Dodge GTs and shit. Like they're just red cars, but they have the lights in the grill. So you would never know. You're driving next to a fucking Dodge or a Mustang or any of that shit, and before you know it, you're pulled over. You're like, what the fuck? How do you got lights in the grill? Damn. Like, at least ours have state trooper painted on the side.
What's your writing process like? Because I know, like me, I just like to get like I'll be like playing a game or something, listening to beats, and be like, oh, that's the one, and I'll just fucking shut everything like off and just be
Skyrim.
In the dark. mostly Grand Theft Auto. I'll just be driving around like
and shit. Yeah. Grand Theft Auto.
Like how do you like once
you a motherfucker?
once you find the beat, how do you end up coming up with the lyrics for it?
Damn, it's crazy you asked me. I'm gonna answer this, but I've never really told nobody this before.
Okay.
Well, okay, the first thing I do once I settle in on the beat, because I actually listen to multiple beats and vibe to those to get to the one.
Mm-hmm.
But once I get to the one, the very first thing I come up with is the title.
Okay.
I come up with the title, and from the title, I break that down and see how I can extrapolate that and make that into something else. I obviously make it into verses. Mm-hmm. But from that point, and this is the part I was getting to, saying I've never told nobody before. I honestly feel like I'm cheating because I don't really feel like I make up the words. I almost feel like the words are already there and I just have to decipher them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I mean, I don't know if that really makes sense at all. But
it does,
maybe it's some like synesthesia type shit where you see sounds. I don't know. But it's like I can hear it, but it's like fuzzy almost.
Yeah.
And then once sometimes I meditate on it. Sometimes I just sit with it. Sometimes it takes me 6 months. And then once I start to really hone in and hear it, It's just a matter of sitting down and writing.
Definitely, yeah.
Mm. Now, you still write everything?
No, it's so on
the
phone.
I mean, type or whatever. Yeah. I know everybody's always like, oh, I don't write nothing anymore. So I watch Sway in the morning. Everybody's like, oh, I don't write no more.
What does that do for Stolly?
Stolly. I like From Stolly here, a lot. Too. Like, I'm not trying to hate at all. But he, like, literally tells Sway in the interview, oh, I don't write any of my raps anymore. And then he's like, all right, five fingers of death. And then he pulls up his phone, opens his notepad, and he's like scrolling his notepad the entire freestyle. I'm like, yo, you literally just told the dude 5 minutes ago.
No, I love writing. Outside of music, honestly, I have a graphic novel. Mm-hmm. My brother is an artist. He draws. I'm doing the writing for that.
And it's like a comic book graphic novel. I'm with you.
What's that about?
Is it a superhero?
Universal law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. The tagline is everything is everything. I'm telling you, bro.
So you're about to be doing soundtracks. The whole soundtrack.
And his album, The Soundtrack.
Yeah. You know,
it's the soundtrack.
That's his album coming?
Yeah, my brother's an artist. He's drawing or doing the illustrations. I'm doing the writing for it. Well, I mean, really, we collaborate on the writing. You know, the timeline on that, because that project is so
deep.
I feel like also just since it's with your brother, it's like something you can work on forever.
You know, so you know, it's really no telling with that one, but it is something that's really important to me. But just getting to the point that I just love writing. So, I mean, that's something that I'll always do. Even if I don't release the music, I'll still always write it just because I enjoy the process of writing. It helps me clear my thoughts. In the process of writing the soundtrack, I learned it was therapeutic. I didn't even know that. I was just rapping about like whatever the fuck kids rap about. And then I realized if I talk about life, it really helps me process and decompress and, you know, figure all this shit out.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So, did you have any shows or anything coming up? Are you planning to do another album release or
anything
of that nature? You obviously have an in with the Rialto. Are we going to catch you there sometime soon doing another show or anything of that nature?
I want to do the album release for the soundtrack at the Rialto. I'm not going to say I'm going to do the album release listening session for the soundtrack there because of the fact that I recorded so much of that material on that stage and tying in with the concept. I just feel like it would be perfect to present it in that.
We have one of our second to last comedy shows we did there. We recorded an album for comedian Dwayne Duke.
Dane Cook.
But yeah, I mean, comedian Dane Cook.
It flopped. Who would have known?
But no. But it was fun. Like I walked in there with my fucking big ass console. Seth's like, does that thing even record? Like yeah, it does, man. But
Simmons on top of it. He's like,
I put Ron Simmons right on top. But I set up in the upstairs room and fucking had mics running all over the place. It's a fun place to do things. So yeah, it'd be fun to see you. It's cool because that neighborhood was always just so run down and fucking shitty for a long time, for lack of a better word. You know what I mean? It's fun. Hey,
Kenmore was originally the music music section of Akron, wasn't it?
When?
Like, wasn't that like where all the music was coming from back in the day?
And the meth.
I'm pretty sure.
And that was a couple years later.
I remember the meth.
Okay. I'm pretty sure. Like back.
Music, man.
But they've redone the boulevard with, you know, nice lamps and street lights or whatever the fuck I'm trying to say. But it's nice that the Rialto's there because it was one of those things like when we were booking a show there. Because, I mean, we're in Goodyear Heights, and a lot of our listeners or whatever are from this side of town. And we're like, yeah, we're going to go over to Kenmore for a show. They're like, why would I drive to Kenmore?
Right.
Like, I can get that same shit in Ellet. And I'm like, no, it's a show.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's talk about that. Akron, your home, right? One of the things I love, I'm a sucker for hometown pride. I have a tire ashtray, for God's sakes.
Hometown pride.
So I love, and that's real fucking General Tire rubber. It's from like, it was my grandpa's from when he worked at General Tire back in like the 60s.
Dope.
What's the city mean to you? I know that's a fucking deep question. Let's try this again. How, what's the city mean to you relating to your music? Do you feel like you're putting Akron on in a certain way? Do you feel like you're doing an Akron style? Or do you feel like it's your own style? Do you feel like you are more of your influences rather than your city? Like, cause you definitely shout out the hometown quite a bit.
I have a very odd relationship with Akron in terms of my music. I love the city on a personal level.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's my home, but... as far as the music goes, it's weird because the music I make doesn't sound like the music that typically comes from Akron artists. Mm-hmm. And I say typically, you know, I don't really like to categorize people, but typically the music that we hear is like that mob Bay Area influence. Mm-hmm. And I don't make that music. Nothing, no knock on that. That's just not the music that I make. So it tends to be a little bit more difficult to get people to tune into what I'm doing because of the fact that it doesn't necessarily sound like that.
Yeah.
But I think once that barrier is broken, then they all
It's starting to be broke. Like, there's a lot of Akron artists that are changing that.
So. Flacco and Coodzee and a lot of those guys.
Love Abstract.
Do you think Akron's got a Bay Area sound?
Not so much anymore. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but like when
23.
Okay, so
even when we talked about VEC earlier, like everybody, that was almost like when everybody wanted to sound like 3-6 Mafia.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the thing about Akron is we've never really had our own identity.
Style, yeah.
So we've always adopted, not necessarily what was hot, but whatever we fucked with.
Mm.
Whether that was, you know, at the time that Chino Nino was fucking with, you know, Cash Money and that Louisiana sound came up here, or Ampacino fucking with the Jack and the Bay Area sound came.
Or how we all got into the Houston sound.
You know, and, so it's like we never really had our own thing, so I think that adds to that odd relationship because it's like nobody really has a true north to measure
an
by.
Identity.
You know, so, but like y'all was saying, I think, you know, we're starting to get into a time to where regions don't necessarily have sounds necessarily anymore, so... Yeah. We're becoming more eclectic, you know, within the city.
I was thinking of this earlier, and I don't mean to put words like in your mouth or whatever, but listening to your music, I don't ever feel like I'm going to hear you be like, you know, like, look at my dick, hey, check out my whip, hey, like, he's like, oh, no, it's coming.
wait till July 4th.
No, I love music like that. I just feel like, but yeah, I do. I hear it, but I just you don't hear that on Track Season at all. You know what I mean? It's
it'll never get to the extent that it's that vulgar because I feel like I make family.
I'm kind of meaning the
music.
I mean, I'm kind of meaning the rhyming pattern. Like that's kind of the popular thing where it's half lines almost. Where da 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 da, hey da 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 da, hey da 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 da, hey da 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 da.
The Migos shit.
I don't have one of those, but honestly, and this is, you know, tying back into you know, the original.
As much as I love Migos,
but Blackomania, Migos
as much as I love it, but
getting like, back in touch with that inner child and just having fun with it again, I really want to do. Like, I started to appreciate those styles a little. That's when I started liking Migos, actually. That's when I started listening to, you know, some of these other artists that do that same, those same patterns and cadences. So, you know, as a writer, what I've always challenged myself with in the past was emceeing and complexity. And I realized I got to a point to where the simple shit is hard. So, like, I took the challenge on Blackomania to try some different patterns. Not necessarily that one, but I do want to.
I get what you're saying.
I like that flow. So
where you
know, I want to go try the simple things because I feel like, you know, the yin and the yang totality. I'm at a point in life where, you know, I'm trying to reconcile with my past and move forward into the future. And you know, just that totality of life and just.
I feel like you can take complex lyricism and put it to that style, and it can be hard.
I think
hard,
I can.
So I hear you. All right. So, what's the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, any of that stuff?
Instagram, G-Black, Black, B-L-A-K-K. Facebook, Geronimo Black. Man, Twitter is G-Black as well.
So everything's G-Black, not Geronimo Black.
Facebook is Geronimo Black.
Well, I just mean music-wise, you're going to be G-Black. That's
the
name.
I don't know. I think at some point, maybe
you might.
I might. I don't know.
You do both alter egos.
It doesn't really
alter egos.
It doesn't really make a difference to me for real. I don't. I really just like the way G Black looks. Uh-huh. So I don't even mind if people call me Geronimo Black. Honestly, yeah. When people meet me, they usually typically do call me Geronimo.
What
so.
About how I've been saying G-Black the whole day? You're like, nah, man, you should stop that.
When you said hyphen, I had this pause. Like,
what's a hyphen?
It's
no.
The dash.
All right, he know what he's talking about.
It's the dash.
Man. Man, but yeah, G hyphen Black, BLA. So, but so you have a single coming out Friday with Flocko, right? Yeah,
it's called "Smell What I'm Cooking." So, Black and Mania, just going back to that, tying in all the concepts.
Smell what I'm cooking.
Yeah, all the song titles.
For that one.
Yeah, all the song titles are wrestling themed.
Uh-huh.
Every song has a feature on it. It's a collaboration album.
Nice
to give that like that match type mm-hmm. feel. So yeah, it's
nice.
Yeah, y'all gonna like it, man. That's why I definitely wanted to come and talk to y'all again as I'm getting ready to put this out because I knew y'all would be able to appreciate it on that level. So
now, I saw a thing on Facebook. It was like a guy like working out to your song "Dominate," and you were rapping and shit. Is that like a music video you're about to drop, or was that just like a little teaser? Stay tuned.
It is a video. That's actually my brother, Eric Eskridge. Working out in that video. He's a power lifter, works at Gold's Gym. They allowed us to go in there and shoot it there. My guy Scene, who did the No Hope Could Have Been Brown video, shot this one too.
You said Scene?
Scene.
You sure it's not Sean? No, my bad. Anyway, people call me Scene all the time.
No, cinematics. All right,
gotcha.
Yeah, he came and shot this one for me. So yeah, stay tuned. Smell What I'm Cooking Friday, Dominate could be any day now.
Awesome. I'm excited. Smell When I'm Cooking, hitting Spotify and all that. You're just everywhere, putting up like a YouTube. It's set for release for everywhere that day. Nice. We're about to take a break, and I'm going to find this cat. So I hear the other cat like going rawr, the whole time.
She's pregnant,
it is. Yeah, it's already happening. We missed it.
Fuck.
It was live on air with us. I'm gonna play one of your songs. What song from track season you want to hear? I got it kicked up on Spotify. Which one you want me to play?
Dominate just seems like it's
that just fits. All right, I appreciate you guys coming. You guys gonna stick around for a minute?
Are we here, bro?
Shake your hand. Thank you for coming.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you guys.
I'm gonna play Dominate.
You know where to place all bets. You think you've seen it all when we ain't even at our best. There's so much left. When I come through, you know where I came from. Same city that my nigga King James from. Same mind state, overthrow the great ones. Take the pie, bust it down with my day ones. Brought nothing to the table, better take none. Know it's going down off top like take one. Nigga think I'm finna break, better take one. High nigga tryna beat me when the race done. This shit was written, I was meant to be. This gift to describing what I envision. Supplied by the most high, my drive is my conviction. Circumstances I witness and live, you my persistence. Stuck in these sucking niggas, I pick them up from a distance. Pray you pick you a winner, secure you a chicken dinner. It's hard niggas, I'm here starving, the piece of man don't deliver. Still I won't let that hinder, cause I've been for no defender. Praying keeping me centered, I'm playing to be remembered.
I came to dominate. Watch out, I dominate. They tryna complicate the way I operate. No, not today, no. I came to dominate. Watch out, I dominate.
Busy playing when I drop, then I flop, then I fall off. Nah, nigga, that's what y'all on. I'm on my job, hit the clock, never call off. Y'all niggas got it all wrong. These niggas sick on my tip, better fall off. Pause. Is it really what it y'all want? Nah, I'ma let you niggas fall back. Or I'ma take the win as y'all lost. The only L that I hold is roll, nigga. I'm old as sky, cause work I put in time that I devote. Dedicated myself to the grind, body and soul. And you don't know the half, so the pie I want it whole. Divided up with the team for the time that we was low. Multiplied by all the niggas denying that we would blow. Cause y'all would kept me whole with my energy getting low. Reppin' at every show, keep letting these niggas know.
I came to dominate. Watch out, I dominate. They tryna complicate the way I operate. No, not today, no. I came to dominate. Watch out, I dominate. Concentrate, concentrate. Dominate, dominate.
When I come through, you know where I came from.
Know where I came from.
I'm on my job, hit the clock, never call off.
Call off.
High nigga tryna beat me when the race done. I'ma take the win, it's your loss.
Your loss.
Your loss.
Hey guys, it's ANA MMA, and I'm your host Slim.
And it's your boy Mati.
And we're bringing you the best MMA podcast that ever lived. Scratch that. The best sports podcast around.
We have fight predictions,
fighter interviews.
We have reviews on recent fights.
And we have random banter that you might be able to understand.
We are for the Ute.
Yeah, we're for the Ute. It's funny either way. Anyway, you should listen. ANA MMA, available on any app you listen to podcasts on. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all those other apps too.
And lousyweathermedia.com.
Yeah. Check out a podcast.
The hangover was today. In front of the toilet, hands and knees, trying to breathe in between the dry heaves. My baby made me some coffee.
Oh shit.
Oh my god. Bobby, stone cold it. Stone cold it right now. Tilt it up. Go for it. Come on.
Go, Bob. Go, Bob.
You gotta do it.
Yo, that's an IPA though. That'll sting.
Yeah, it ain't a Coors Light.
That'll be horrible. Come up his nose when he burps, like, oh.
His
like,
fucking
hoodie, I'll be getting pulled over. Probably like, you smell like beer.
His fucking beer just exploded.
What
all
kind
over
was that? Was that a good one? Was that a bad one to drop?
What the hell happened? Why did your beer explode?
Bob don't know.
Did you shake it up when he walked out of the room or something?
Yeah,
it was Reggie.
Yeah. Oh, Reggie. he's been plotting this whole time.
He's like, that's fucked up, man.
Wow.
Oh, that's
are
funny.
You good, Bob? Is your beer intact? Some of it,
I'm
so.
Fine.
What? Yeah, I just wonder, what is the beer you're drinking today? German chocolate cake?
I got a six pack at the place that you work.
At my job?
I made my own six pack.
Oh, at Winking Lizard. Or, I mean, yeah, the completely the fictional place I work
place
at.
That you work.
Yeah, that I cook.
That I can
at,
make my
yeah
own six pack.
You can make
the,
your own six pack.
In the who knows what ville that was.
Yeah,
was
the
adjacent ville room where you can build a six pack.
Yeah, I hear you. See, yeah, if you guys didn't know, anytime we talk about my work, all these places, people, things are completely fictional. Mm. Yeah, oh, yeah. So. God. So gotcha. Yeah, you know, we let a play slide there. Yeah, yeah. Like, cause he was like, "Oh, is that your work?" And I'm like, "Oh, Winking Lizard." Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, "Hold up, hold
yeah
the phone."
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's a nice place to go. Monday and Tuesday nights, wing and pizza night. I went Monday night to a different Winking Lizard.
You got spicy.
God damn it, I said it again.
You got a spicy ranch.
Well, you can say that you went to a Winking Lizard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I hit peak laziness last night.
What's up?
I hit peak laziness last night.
What does that mean?
I Uber Eats some Johnny J's.
You Uber Eats?
Which is 7 minutes from my house.
Uber Eats is a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought you had to order like $25 worth of food for to get Uber Eats.
Nope.
What?
You trust that?
How much you gotta order?
He brought me my food and it was fine. Yeah, I've done it twice. There's
how
no
could
limit.
How did you even get $25 worth of food from like McDonald's?
That's what you. I know it's, no, like it's a like, limit. It's like you have to get $25 worth of food or some shit like that.
It's. I mean, it's kind of cool actually. No, I didn't. I've never experienced a limit. Like Hibachi Express, I got that one time. That was dope. Like without having to leave.
That's
no
like
limit.
Everything's probably already $25.
I mean, yeah.
So,
right. But
so
they do have like the McDonald's and like the Wendy's and shit. But like,
you order it on your phone and have yeah somebody pick it up.
This is full menu. It tells you about the average wait time. So if I order John Jay's from Waterloo to here, it'd be 30-40 minutes.
What's okay the delivery charge?
That's a good
$5.
Good time. Be 30-40 minutes from any other anywhere mm-hmm else. Any pizza?
Yeah, you literally just order your food on that.
You said how much? $5.
$5 delivery charge. Yeah,
we have.
I was that lazy. I'm telling you. I was last night. I was just like, I don't want to move. Well, I just mean, want food.
To be honest with you, it just sounds like ordering food for delivery. It'd be like calling Domino's.
Yeah, but these places don't deliver. That's the point.
Yeah, you Johnny have to J's. I mean, you said Johnny J's.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, not Jimmy John's.
No, no, no.
I was
no
thinking Jimmy John's. I
wish it was Jimmy John's.
They have the freaky fast
right
delivery.
Right, exactly. It's freaky fast.
So anyway, Johnny J's is the bar. Yeah.
Yes. And I got some wings last night and a sandwich. But
from
how
the
are
bar
I
in Springfield?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So the fucking strip mall bar next to the bowling alley, you hired a driver to go pick you up food.
Those wings are so good, dude. That spicy ranch. Oh my god,
dude, that's
I was craving them.
I'm happy about
but I was
this
so lazy. Like I said, it was
yeah, bro.
not moving.
I don't use Uber. That do you guys use Uber ever to get anywhere or anything like that?
Flago took an Uber here and away last time when he came
here.
Yeah,
because
I just don't trust people like that.
I don't either.
See, I feel like it's one of those things, like you said, Flago, like he's from Macon, Georgia or whatever. So I'm sure it might be like a cultural thing. Like, I don't know if you guys know Roger Riddle. From the Devil Strip and things like that, but he's from Detroit originally, and he took an Uber everywhere. Yeah. It's like a lot of those bigger cities, people don't drive anywhere. I mean, they have transit for everything, and we're all used to driving. Our life is flat enough here. We have some hills, but it's flat enough here that we're all still driving.
Yeah. That many city, I mean, in the big city, I guess.
Even in Cleveland, like it's driving and it's parking. They tear down shit for parking garages all the time.
Right.
So yeah, transit isn't like as much as. But so yeah, Uber. I've never used it personally, but I've ordered them for my girlfriend.
I got Ubers,
like,
Lyfts, Uber Eats, all that. I fuck with that. I mean, Uber.
I like
was
how you
first,
said
but...
you don't trust people that much. Like it's that like meme you always see that's like. In 1995 with AOL, it's like, don't meet strangers online. Then it's like in 2018, it's like,
just hop in a stranger's
car.
Yeah,
order a stranger to show up to your house. Get in their fucking car.
It's just a little weird if you think about it.
So I see people, and there's like the Uber Blacks now where it's like a more high dollar
luxury car. Yeah.
It's like $5 more. You get the luxury car.
I kind of want to do it one time just to see what it like take a girl on a date.
But they'll have like Uber lights on the car.
We get a Toyota Camry. To take us home, like
I fuck him on.
Like I can't afford another one.
Oh, damn. I got a fucking. This is my Uber Eats. I got an HD TV antenna the other day
delivered
or yesterday. No, I went to Walmart and bought it.
Oh, see, then you ain't got shit.
I wanted. I wanted to get NBC. ABC, Fox, and CBS.
Right.
I got NBC and ABC.
Two channels.
But it was hilarious last night. I hooked this thing up to my TV, and I turn it on, and then like I'm searching for channels, and I'm not getting anything, so then I'm picking it up and moving the antenna around, and I'm like, I literally have not done this in 23 years. Like, when is the last time I took rabbit ears? And it was like bending them. Like, oh, I can't get fucking... seat or the WB in clear enough on this fucking TV.
My grandma was so upset when they went digital because she used to have the rabbit ears on the back porch.
Yeah.
She used to do that like
this. All you had to do was like just plug a fucking cable in the TV and you had TV. You had like 60 channels for the longest time. Then they were like, nah, it's all digital now. I did the scan. I got like 22 channels and like one of them is just like all black and white westerns.
But you only wanted three of them and the one you didn't get?
But it is cool. Like when you came over earlier, I was like, ah, I'm watching that 70s show. And you didn't believe me that I wasn't like streaming it on some device. I'm like, nah. Like,
this dude only ever watches YouTube documentaries.
He was watching something earlier and I was like, what the hell just happened? Go back. And he was like, I can't rewind it. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I'm watching antenna television, dude. Like we were watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Was Chris Klem on it?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was fucking funny. He was like, "You, what do you mean you can't rewind?" I'm like, "Dude, you can't. It's antenna television.
It's live, Bob."
Yeah,
it was crazy.
I was watching The Tonight Show last night. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like kicked back in a recliner, like, watching The fucking Tonight Show.
Was that the one with Daniel Cormier on there? Oh, that's Conan.
I have no idea. They had the Smashing Pumpkins on there.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's always funny like watching Smashing Pumpkins play, and then Jimmy Fallon's like, "And the Roots," and the Roots play us out. And it's just like a fucking phenomenal transition. The Roots are the best fucking band in late night, though.
Yeah,
all
that's
shit.
Fair.
But yeah, then I was watching. I just flip it. I was watching Most Daring. Like, there's one channel called Quest that just plays History Channel and True TV reruns.
Mm.
So it was like a fucking auctioneer show, and then the very next thing was like those. Well, it was called The Most Daring, where it's just those videos where like people run out in front of horses and get fucking trampled and shit, or people drive into windows and shit. Like,
oh, and then try to hop over a car.
Yeah, like, just like people doing crazy shit. These firefighters were trying to do like a routine, like start a small fire and put it out thing. but they didn't realize the gas lines were still running the house, and the dude walked up. He walks up with like a flame. As soon as he gets like a foot from the house, it just explodes in his face. I was like, yo, I just watched him die. Yeah, apparently he lived.
Oh, okay, good.
But I was like, I watched him die. Like, I was like, holy damn. Shit.
You know what I fell in love with recently? On like YouTube and shit. Desus and Mero.
Who's that? No.
They do a podcast together, but they just comment on recent events and stuff, like in the news, and they just like they have a show on Viceland. It's that funny.
So you guys, you make fun of me all the time for watching like weird YouTubers do things.
Well, I found them on YouTube, but they have a show on.
You just dropped some like that was heavy millennial stuff right there. Yeah,
I guess
that was heavy on the millennial there. I'm like, who? You're like, they're these YouTubers.
I'm not on a YouTube like that, but there is this one YouTuber supposed to fight Jake Paul though.
Really?
Yeah.
See now,
Jake, or Logan, whatever the older one is, I don't know.
Whichever one.
That, suicide
The Suicide Forest. Yeah,
that was Logan, wasn't it, or was that Jake?
I don't fucking remember. I think
I don't remember either. That's how bad it was. Yeah. Like we were so mad at that fucking guy for a day, and now I'm like,
I hate both of them.
What
honestly,
was his name?
But yeah, this YouTuber that streams like just mostly Fortnite and shit like that. But like he got brought out. By the UFC to play the new UFC game, and Dana White was there and a bunch of fighters there, and they were all playing. He was whooping ass, and then he just broke the news that he was fighting Jake Paul in a boxing match. Apparently,
an actual fighting.
Yeah, they're boxing, not MMA, but like I don't know why, but they are. So that's cool. I want to see him get his ass beat.
YouTuber boxing.
I really do.
That's wild.
So that'd be great.
Yeah, I fucking
new generation.
Things we do for fame.
It's those crazy dudes from the Vine days. You guys were hip to Vine, like.
Vine,
the shit was popping. Like, they're just these two
Vine video Vine.
Yeah.
They're just these like guys. You know what I mean? They're cool.
They're not, but they were popular back then.
Vine, man. Yeah, that's wild. But the antenna TV though.
Yeah,
I want to get more channels.
Are you gonna build like a longer antenna with like?
I'm gonna have to like. Put it in different spots and like stand
like,
with it.
You're going to be like putting one on top of the house
and
pretty soon.
Putting foil on it.
He's going to go to a Goodwill and steal all the antennas off those old stereos. Just walk out with them.
Hook them on top of my digital antenna. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. It was like you can lay it flat. I got no channels.
You ever see like people driving with like those antennas that are like 8 feet tall off of
they're just trying to they're snitches.
Yeah. I always assume those people are like government hackers.
There was
something.
A guy that used to come into fucking Taco Bell. I used to work in a Taco Bell. It's like 12 years ago or so, and this guy would come in like every fucking night because it was a block away from the police station, and he'd sit there with this little transistor radio like until he got
little
the
CB
fucking,
radio
till he got the police fucking frequency and just like I'd be like, you are weird, like why are you doing this? He found our like headset fucking frequency for real. He'd be like, listen, and so like I would talk to him randomly in the middle of the night, like I don't know if he was ever listening, but I'd be like, fuck you, Jake, and like stupid ass shit on the headset. It'd be like fucking just pushing that little button.
What was that? That's movie awesome. Joyride.
You're
like candy cane microphone. Just fun. Yeah,
shit. That fucking headset shit. We would go to the store and buy cigarettes with the headset on. People would pull up to the speaker and we ain't even there, like, give me 1 minute, please. Like, we're fucking a block down the road getting cigarettes and shit. Come pulling back up. Come pulling back up to Taco Bell and shit. We'd be doing stupid shit, getting high on the roof. Goddamn, Taco Bell was fun.
Was that some DC shit?
I'd be sitting on the roof watching the person down there and be like, oh, give us 1 second. We'll be right there.
No wonder my shit's got no sour cream.
That was a lot of years ago, though. I'm sure Taco Bell's cracked down since then.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I'm a different person now. I would be the guy yelling at the people doing that shit now. I'd be like, get off the goddamn roof. We're here to make food and nothing else. Like, what are you doing? But, yeah, back in the day, man, I didn't give a fuck.
It's fair. It's apparent, yeah.
We were talking, me and Bobby were talking earlier about the pranks and shit at the pizza shop.
Oh, God.
We were just fucking around, like, you ever walk it? We were just yelling at Slim, like, you ever walk in the door and get hit with a bucket of flour? And I'm like, you ever pick up a phone receiver and it's full of shortening? They just put fucking all that grease right to your ear.
Oh, Disgusting.
We went so
Mom
hard.
Rosa's pickup board. Oh,
we went so hard with the shortening that me and this one dude specifically went like just so back and forth, put shortening on the bottom of everything you touch. So
every light, every light switch, every
and like it would like be like they wouldn't touch anything all day, and the manager would come in and touch it and be like, "Oh God damn it, I hate you guys."
Yeah,
and then like it got to the point where. At one point, she fucked with us somehow. I forget how. But then she was there was a party at somebody's house.
Your boss?
Yeah, the boss. There was a party at somebody's house. And, like, everybody from work was going there. So we waited till everyone was there. And we went to her house and put shortening on, like, the bottom
all
of the...
Yeah, all of her door handles.
Door
and
handle
shit.
And on the rake and on the, like, her car. And everything at her house.
You brought it with you? Like...
Yeah, we took, like, a... We
I just fucking stole a whole bucket of shortening.
Oh, and, like, we put it on everything in her house. And, yeah, like,
fuck.
It was, like, just six, 7 months later, like, her husband went out to, like, rake the yard. He's like, oh, God damn it, I got shortening on my hand. It was so great.
So, hey, Sean, you got a shortening ear.
I got a shortening in
what,
the ear.
Was it when you answered a phone call?
Yeah.
How'd you play it off?
It's like as soon as I got there. I didn't know how to... I didn't react on the phone. You can't sell it.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's the number one rule of pro wrestling. Don't fucking sell it. Don't sell no gimmick like that. Yeah.
So what'd you do?
I was just like, well, on the phone, but then once I got off the phone with the person, I was just like, oh, my God, no. I ran to the bathroom. Like, how was he going to react? Like, it's like washing my ear off.
Like you said, like, hey, mama... Oh, fuck.
That's exactly how it went. And I was just like, all right, yeah, you
got to
tough it out.
How many times I walked into that place, and there's no one even around to see it because it was only me. I'm just walking in with my key and stuff, and then a bucket of fucking flour just falls on my head.
Yeah, they propped the screen door open with it because you had the glass door you'd walk so through, pissed. Then there's a screen door.
But I was like,
so you'd push the screen door open, and a bucket of flour would fall.
Tragic.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
It just like
no,
right,
I spent
cool,
the
yeah.
whole day after that plotting.
Plotting.
How am I gonna get
revenge?
Back?
Yeah.
He comes in at what time? 4. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thankfully, that's a like I haven't seen anything like that happen in a long time.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I was young then.
I try to tell everybody at my job nowadays that they're lucky. That doesn't happen to them. I'm like, they're like, oh, I got to open tomorrow. I'm like, you lucky you don't come in and all your door handles are covered in shortening.
Yeah.
Just like, they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, hey, got it. You're better. You're fucking lucky.
Yeah, don't ask.
I'll tell you what. I walked uphill both ways, 15 miles, to fucking get shortening in my ear. So... You're lucky. You're fucking JCPenney job.
I don't even like pranks on people. I just scare them. Yeah. Like, cause I have a walkie talkie.
You say
and, like,
boo?
No, I have all my walkie talkie for like. There's a talk button. There's a random button. I don't know what it does. And then one of them just goes like just static.
Yeah.
So let's walk up behind someone.
That's,
they won't go on there.
That's for
and
Morse code. You're supposed to like talk to them via Morse code that way. So
okay.
Like you could do long, short,
but it doesn't go through to any other walkie. It's just only for mine. Like,
oh, okay,
comes
then
out
never
of
mind.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
My ass. I have no idea what it's
for. I get
for.
It, but I... Yeah,
I have no idea what it's for.
Yeah,
shit. You guys, see, we have the radios at work, and we'll say stupid shit to each other sometimes. Yeah.
Well, mine, there's, like, all of them on the floor, too. So, like, I'll do it after close. I'll, like, just start talking some shit or whatever, but during the store hours, I'm like, nah.
Just
there's
start.
Like 23 others on the radio on the floor, so every customer can hear what I'm saying. Like, don't need that.
I went and worked at a different store once. Like, I work at my store. Like, I went and filled in at a different store once, and they fucking. And when the servers would come to the back, they'd just start booing them. And I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, or if somebody asked for something, they'd be like, oh, hey, I accidentally rang in French fries. I need baked beans. Everybody would just be like, boo. I was like, this is so wild.
That's
but
awesome.
Now I just want to boo people though. Like, I feel like it's the thing to do. Like, they were all in on it. Like, boo. I was like, all right. So I'm like over there making food. Like, boo.
You gonna start that at your store? Like,
yeah, now I'm like trying,
new wave.
Trying to boo on some people.
Is this
now.
Segment just job stories?
Yeah, let's wrap things up. Do you
Can
have
I
a
tell?
Good one?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I have the best job story.
All right, let's hear it.
I went on a delivery.
Everybody's strapping
pizza.
In.
I went on a delivery. No, I told you this already.
All
so
right,
you
I hear
already
it.
Know it. And this is just the most bizarre thing ever. So we go to this apartment complex that's basically, they built it for homeless people to get homeless people off the streets. So when you go into it, it's just homeless people. You're not even allowed to go to the apartments. You have to stand at the, like, protective glass counter while the secretary calls them down to you. So I'm sitting down there.
Well, the pizza, waiting, yeah. They all order pizza every day.
Yeah, so I'm sitting down there waiting for some guy. Huh. And this first guy comes up and starts talking to me about the monarchy in Japan during the First World War or something. And
okay.
I'm just, like, not really paying attention. I'm just, like, he's just standing next to me talking to me. I'm
I feel like you would have known about it. Like, you would have had something to contribute.
No, I had nothing to contribute.
I'm just like, yeah, fuck that guy. And,
paper cranes. Like,
fuck Trump. I was just like, I hate being in this building, let me leave. Yeah. And waiting on the guy to come down the elevator, and then he finally gets there, so this guy walks away, and I'm like, cool. And the guy's like, I already paid for my food with a credit card. And I was like, no, you didn't. And he's like, oh, well, my credit card's upstairs in my room. And I was like, okay, well, you gotta go get it, and you're gonna have to call them, and then you're gonna have to come back down here.
Damn.
So I'm sitting, so now I gotta wait for so long. I gotta wait for him to go back up and come back down. And this time, this guy goes up to the protective counter and is just like, I am God. Everyone in this building is my servant.
Is the receptionist is behind glass.
Yeah, and it's this, like, little old lady. Yeah. And this is just like, I don't know, this guy had to be like 19 or 20, and everyone in this building is crazy.
Was he tweaked out?
Everyone in this building is crazy.
Okay. Including the old lady for working there.
Yeah, she was homeless too. She was just
actually
there
no.
For
she was actually, she was pretty cool. I liked how she handled it.
How could you handle that?
Well, he was like, well, because she's behind glass, so he's just like, I'm God, and you have to listen to me. And she's like, no, I don't. That was basically her attitude the whole time. But he tried. He fired her at one point. He's like, it's my building, so you're fired. And she's like, I'm not fired.
She got scared for a minute. Like,
she's like, I'm going to go up to my apartment upstairs.
I'm not behind the protective glass.
Yeah, you're
you're outside with this dude. Like, outside the glass.
Yeah, yeah.
Just chilling, waiting for him. Oh, shit.
And,
did you say, thank you, God, for my life?
No, I'm not saying anything. I don't want to get in a confrontation with God while I'm at work.
Yeah, anytime,
So I'm just, like, minding my own business while he's yelling and cussing about pharaohs and Egypt and... It was crazy. And then finally, then he starts to walk away.
They at least
he starts
teach
to, like,
you how to build, like, how the pyramids were built.
Oh, good question.
I don't know. Anyway. Damn, he starts to walk away from her, though, finally. He's
pointless.
Like, this, and then he starts talking about me. Not to me, but about me. He's like, oh, this guy's delivering pizza in my building, and this guy's not paying for it, so that's my pizza. And I'm like, oh, shit, this guy's about to come after me. Like, what's going on? And, finally, my boss texts me, and he's like, hey, the guy finally paid for his food, so he should be coming back down pretty soon. I was like, cool. So I was about to even leave, but he texts me back, so I was like, okay.
He's going to leave the food with the receptionist.
Yeah, I was like, she's got protective glass counter. If he's going to pay for it with his card, then that's cool. And if,
like,
if the card gets declined or anything, then it's like, I don't even really care. It's like, anyway. This guy starts talking about how it's his pizza, so I'm getting concerned. And finally, this guy comes down, and God walks away. So I'm like, cool. This guy tries to, and guy's like, do you got change for 10? Because I'm like, cool, he's going to tip me, because you never get tipped in this building.
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool, this guy's going to tip me. He takes the change I gave him for the 10, he takes his 10, puts it both in his pocket, and starts laughing hysterically, like it's the funniest thing that's ever happened in his life. And I'm like, I just sat here listening to the fucking Japanese monarchy from the First World War. I listened to Egypt and the pharaohs and the pyramids and God and everything about that. And now you're trying to take $10 from me. I was about to, like, knock this dude out. But I was just like, okay. I'm staring at him. And he was just like, okay. And then he handed me $12. So I was like, cool, I got a $2 tip.
Wow.
I was like, I don't know if this is worth it.
You probably walked out of there, like, happy.
Yeah, it kind of was. I was kind of like, all right, cool. I was like, this is legit. I was like, I'd never get tipped here.
$2 makes the day.
I walk outside, and there's this dude, like, where you park, it's where the entrance of the building is kind of like a circle type thing where you park in. And there's this dude just, like, walking around in circles in a kilt. with his head in his hands like he just fucking murdered somebody. Just like in little circles, like walking around in like very little circles.
Where's this at?
It's in North Hill.
It's on in Chapel Hill. It's on Brownstone.
Okay.
Yeah, down.
Fucking
yeah.
Down at the end of Brownstone. It's called. Hell, it's like the apartments at Magnolia. Yeah. So it's called. Well, you guys know about the apartments at Magnolia. Yeah.
And like weird shit. That's
crazy. It used to be Smith Park. They tore down Smith Park.
It's not honestly weird for weird shit to happen down there, but like for all that shit to weird shit to happen at one time, I was just like.
It's too much.
What is it? Was like a movie scene.
Yeah, that's the stories of delivering pizza, man.
Wow,
I'll tell you what.
Sounds horrifying.
Yeah. So, G Black, your Instagram one more time for all the people listening.
Oh, man, Instagram.
Like, how do I follow that?
Yeah,
it works.
You ever deliver pizzas?
No, never.
Deliver Uber Eats? No.
Nah, I want nothing to do with Uber Eats or Uber anything.
Yeah, delivering food is a one-of-a-kind job. It's probably, it's one of the funnest and also terrible jobs in the world.
I'll agree with that.
Are you private? It's fun. Is your Instagram private?
It's fun and terrible.
No, yeah.
You private. You don't want anybody, you're like, I don't want people, I don't want getting strangers' cars, I don't want strangers looking at my Instagram.
It's purposeful.
I don't want strangers anywhere near me.
I think it's strategic in a way that we, again, just going back to how I view music and how it's consumed, I think we have it backwards. I think people are trying to appeal to more people as opposed to appealing more to the people they appeal to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to focus on the people that fuck with me. And
I hear you.
You know, I satisfy them, then I can expand it. Mm. You know, then I open it up.
I appreciate that very much.
Oh, yeah.
So, G-Black, Reggie, thank you for coming, hanging out with us.
Thank you.
This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys coming.
Man, thank you.
Anything else you got to say, Slim?
We got to collab, Slim.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
you heard some. You heard some Slim during the break.
Indubitably.
Slim with a dollar sign. Indubitably, I love that word. I always like. I'll say that in the car. Like I'll stroke my beard.
You got it.
I'll look at my girlfriend. I'll be like, indubitably, yes. it's one of my favorite things to do. But anyway, so you heard some. You heard some.
That
Slim.
Says a lot about you.
You enjoyed the Slim with a dollar sign.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, you'll have to send them your mixtape.
Sure, when it comes out. Yep. Yeah. So hopefully next month I'm gonna get it all recorded and done. Album artwork done. Ready
super
to go,
dope, bro.
Yeah. Thank you.
Dope.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
man.
Slim's on the come up nowadays.
Trying
is that what they call it?
Yeah. You're exactly. I'm opening for
creeping on
an artist called Doobie.
Doobie.
I believe the 27th. It's in what's that? The Foundry in Cleveland.
In Lakewood.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
Foundry.
The last time I went there,
mostly punk rock, hardcore,
yeah,
metal type.
Exactly.
Shit.
Last time I went there, I went to a metal show and got my face split open. I got dropped on my head and my eyebrow just went.
The first time I ever met
Slim.
You want to
go back?
Yeah. Exactly. That's my
life. I want to see what a rap show is like. Yeah. I got to see what a rap show is like there.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it.
We're not gonna see what a rap show is like.
Yeah, we're not gonna stage dive this time. That was what I fucked up
the
on last
Foundry
time,
was
so.
The place that was in the news 2 years ago for the guys from Boston showing up with machetes and running through the streets.
Oh, good. Thanks for hyping up my show.
Smashing
that's great. Yeah.
I've heard nothing but crazy stories about that place.
They just had their front window
there.
Smashed.
And make sure somebody record it so I can see it, bro.
They left and... There was like a robbery across the street when they were walking out, and then they ended up getting shot
at a show at the Foundry.
Like it wasn't like bad.
Oh yeah. I know
like
what you're talking
friend,
about.
Yeah, it was like
shot in the head, bro.
Yeah.
So if you want to go to the Foundry, hit me up. I got tickets.
You want to die
on June 27th? You know, life's about risks.
I've been there a bunch of times and had
when
nothing
is the show
but
on
good
Halloween?
Experiences.
Halloween.
When is the show?
What? No, 27th of this
oh,
one.
Oh, this 27th.
Yeah.
Okay. Hell yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys coming.
Man,
it was a lot of fun, man.
Yes.
I'm a play another song as we get out of here. They Killed Jesus. We've been listening to this one a bunch. Thank you, guys. This was way too much fun. My Wi-Fi password. Share my password. Oh, sure. my girlfriend's asking to share my Wi-Fi password. You ever see that? I don't mean to interrupt the show, but this is wild. This was like, would you like to share your password? And it popped up her fucking iPhone contact. Like,
you can do that?
I did not know that existed. But now she on Wi-Fi.
Mo is taking a photo of the password on the side of the
Yeah, I am too. Always taking photos. Like, our password is like 30 characters of just capital and lowercase letters and funny as numbers. Like, just sending pictures to people.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you can just share a password via iPhone.
What? How do you do that shit?
That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Let's have a good day. That still helps, even if you ain't never experienced firsthand what I'm saying, it still felt, still real indeed. Hoping it reaches those in need. It's just me giving you my experience. Everything that I've seen, everything that I dreamed. It seems the opposition is stronger than I believe. I never knew it would be this difficult to achieve. Always second guessing the way it'd be. Which in turn keeps me seeking out what I need. I just wanna be free. Whatever that means, I'm just a black man raising black kings and queens to exceed the limits they place. By any means, we can go so far. We can see we are capable of so much more. I had dreams that would be better than this, but the possibility of failure ain't never exist. So now I'm facing obstacles I ain't never predict. Just looking at my situation be making me sick. I could be so much more, so much more, so much more. Used to think I would be so much more, so much more, so much more, so much more. Give me time, go for so much more. Man, I feel like I lost it. Lost in my thoughts, trying to force it. The pressure is enormous, ideas going dormant. Haunted by the possibilities, this is torment. I wish I could ignore it, or go back to before it became the only thing on my brain. Need something to lift the pressure, something to ease the pain. Knowing what I could have been instead of what I became. Strip me of my dreams, reality. What remains? My reality, such a shame. Trying to count my blessings, be happy about what I gained. In the meantime, I dream I'm where I wanna be. Please God, I think I deserve a change. At least give me a chance. If I don't achieve the vision, at least give me a glance. If everything is written, is this part of the plan? Cause I don't see the purpose, it's worthless where I stand. I had dreams that would be better than this, but the possibility of failure ain't never exist. So now I'm facing obstacles I ain't never predict. Just looking at my situation be making me sick. I could be so much more, so much more, so much more. Used to think I would be so much more, so much more, so much more, so much more. Give me time, gonna be so much more. Been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.